The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. This is Adam Schaefer, Sal DiStefano, and Justin Andrews. We're coming to you live. Don't forget to subscribe. First of all, before we get started, I'm going to apologize because...
Maybe I should apologize.
So tonight, you should apologize. Tonight, I told Sal and Justin, so we've been... meeting and hanging out.
We're trying
to take
advantage of Adam. That's basically what happened, right?
I'm about to ramble about something that takes 2 seconds to probably explain, right? So these guys poured me a drink, and I haven't I don't remember the last time I even drank alcohol.
Roof and
much,
all.
Much less straight vodka over. He says vodka and seltzer, but I think he held the seltzer. And I'm a little bit tipsy. So if I accidentally misplace some words and stuff like that, please don't hold it against me. I'm retarded, but I'm not that retarded. So...
how can I hold all these extra chromosomes? That was offensive. I apologize.
That being said, we're gonna kick this out and off, and we're gonna talk about hard gainers. And part of the reason why I've had a chance to drink, it's partly celebration. I told the boys I wasn't gonna be competing in the next show that's coming up. I was debating that up until literally about yesterday, and decided I'm gonna enjoy myself a little bit. So that's part of the reason why we're having some drinks to celebrate. We can actually eat together and have some
why don't you let them in on your awesome meal you just had.
Oh yeah, I just had a steak quesadilla that I washed down with a double chicken burrito bowl that was followed up with some chips and guacamole. So pretty bomb.
Boom. Gainers. This is a great way to segue into hard gainers.
Yeah, right. So today we'll talk a little bit about hard gainers. I get this question asked a lot.
What is a hard gainer? What does that mean?
So a hard gainer would fall in the category of somebody what we would also classify as like an ectomorph body type. So you've got the small skeletal system. You have a hard time putting muscle mass on. Now, I say that's how we classify it, but there's all kinds of studies that have came out now that, you know, is there really such a thing as ectomesoendo? Right. And, you know, we can definitely get
some
into
somatotypes. There's some flaws.
Exactly.
There's some history of that.
We can get into a whole other episode of talking about different body types and what we thought we generalized before. And they're coming out with stuff saying that's not true. So, but a hard gainer is somebody who has a hard time putting muscle mass or putting weight on, period. You know, they just struggle with getting enough food. They have what they would think is a fast metabolism, and more often than not, I think it's less of a fast metabolism, and you just have trained yourself over years to not consume as much food. And that is very close to home for me, because most all of my life I had struggled with putting size on. I graduated high school at 6'3" and 163 pounds.
You were massive.
Yeah.
I used a dumbbell heavier than that.
when I first started personal training, I used to use that as my transformation picture. And I used to show people my high school graduation. I was on a beach and I'm drying off the towel. And I've got the towel lifted above my chest, and you could literally see every one of my ribs, like detail. Yeah, so I was pretty skinny, and mind you, I was lifting weights at that time and trying to build mass. So I was trying to grow, I was trying to put weight on, and I just felt like I can never eat enough, you know. And there's a lot of things that play into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm in the same category. So I was very very skinny growing up. That's actually why I got into lifting weights. But when you classify hard gainer, as I've become a trainer, as I've been in this industry now as a fitness professional for a long time, I used to think a hard gainer, and the classical term is just a skinny person, right? But I've seen people who are overweight that are hard gainers. And so I like to narrow it down and say someone who has a tough time building muscle with the traditional paradigm. Mm. That's the terminology I use. So somebody who follows the magazine's recommendations, the bodybuilding magazine recommendations for building muscle, mm-hmm. and who has a tough time putting muscle and strength on, would call themselves or consider themselves a hard gainer. Now, through the years, what I've discovered is more often than not, it's not that necessarily they're a hard gainer. It's that they don't respond well to the common paradigm, the one that people promote, that they need a different approach. And this is now, you know, I was able to build a lot more muscle once I changed my approach. I found other people, other clients in the same category who can do the same thing, you know, put on more muscle just by changing their approach with resistance training and with nutrition. But nonetheless, genetics do play a role, right? There are some dudes that just, man, I used to have this trainer years ago. I'll never forget. The first club I managed as a general manager, I was 19 years old. And there was this trainer that worked for me. And this dude, man, pre-workout meal was a Pop-Tart. He would have like 2 cheeseburgers a day, and that's it. Like, he ate almost nothing. And this dude was doing skull crushers with like 225. He had the 245s on each side, the big straight bar. And he had, like, you know, 17 and a half inch ripped arms. He was natural, and I know this because we were very close. He didn't take any steroids or anything like that, but he just built muscle. I mean, it was insane. And I'm sure you guys have known people like
absolutely.
That, right?
Yeah. I can count a couple of them.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's just like that, too. I have the same exact story. Somebody who ate Jack in the Box twice a day or whatever like that, and they would go in or they touch weights. Shoot, we have a buddy. I'm sure those of our listeners, if you don't know who Neil Maddox is, a good buddy of mine. He's also a top guy in CrossFit games.
Well, that guy's always been yacked.
Yeah, no, we worked together for a long time. Now, mind you, I've seen Neil eat very, very clean and dialed. He is very, but I also seen the guy like have not worked out for like 2 or 3 months, go in the gym one time, touch weights, and look like Hercules overnight, dude. He's just,
yeah, that's not fair.
And he's been a natural freak for as long as I've known him, man. And this guy's got super, which is also why the guy's in his, what, mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. And he's competing in at the elite level on CrossFit Games, which is, we all know how intense that
is. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. And an all-natural, all-natural in your late 30s, and you're considered top 10 in the world in CrossFit. That's
really hard.
Well, so I think a lot of times people compare themselves to people like that, and then they say, oh, I'm a hard gainer. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, if you took 50 dudes off the street, just average guys, you know, just picked them off the street, I bet you none of them would come close to the type of, you know, genetics that some of these top athletes have, right? I mean, it's like one in 10,000. So I think a lot of guys actually consider themselves hard gainers. I mean, how many guys have you guys seen? You know, we've been in gyms a long time.
Well, I think that's a very good point, because where you're, I'm not sure if this is where you're going with this, but, you know, someone who claims they're a hard gainer because they struggle to put muscle on. Well, it's quite challenging to add muscle if you don't understand nutrition and
proper exercise.
Yeah, if you don't understand proper exercise and you don't truly understand nutrition, everybody could be falling to that. And that's why I think so many people think they're hard gainers, is because they just don't totally understand what they're doing. I mean, I have to say, even myself. So when my approach, when I was trying to build muscle when I was a kid, and I didn't have the education, the knowledge and experience I have now, was eat anything in sight, you know, garbage, whatever, you know, high calorie foods. It didn't matter. I needed to grow and lift weights heavy, as hard as heavy as I possibly could, you know, and that was what was going to put size on me. And, you know, a couple things that I learned later in life that like were huge, that were just counterproductive for myself, was one, I was extremely active. I was always playing basketball on the side. Plus, I was lifting weight, doing all this stuff like that. I was go, go, go nonstop. So I was super, super active, which, you know, when it comes down to somebody who's trying to put weight on, put extra calories, you know, the more you move, it's kind of counterproductive to what you're trying to do.
Back then, I guarantee you weren't really paying attention. Like, look how many calories I'm really, you know, moving and expending every single day. It's like, you can't even, you're probably doing like, what, how many would you even guess?
I would guess 4,500 to 5,000 calories. Cause I'm way more active back then. And I know that's what I burn. I burn close to 4,000 now, especially on a day like today, Tuesday or Thursday, I'm at 4 a.m. I'm on my feet working for 4 or 5 hours, and I go train super hard, do a little bit. I mean, easily up in 4,000 calories. So, you know, I've got to eat a lot of food to put size on, because muscle doesn't build. A lot of people think that when you go in and you lift weights, you build the muscle. That's not necessarily how it works. And if you don't feed the muscle what it needs, it won't grow. It doesn't work that way. You can stimulate all you want and break down all you want in the gym, but if you don't feed it properly and understand what properly is, then you can't. And so when I was younger, I used to eat all this stuff. Well, a couple things I learned. One, I was moving way too much. Two, I also found out that when I ate, like, let's say after a hard workout, I go have like a cheeseburger or fries or whatever, like a slam milkshake, whatever I could get my hands on, right? Well, I learned like how much saturated high foods that are high in saturated, high glycemic, how much they satiate me. and how much harder it was for me to eat another meal 2, 3, or 4 hours even later. I wasn't hungry for another 5 or 6 hours because I ate all that high saturated fat, high glycemic foods. Whereas I could eat, you know, 8 ounces of boiled chicken breast and a cup of brown rice. Shit, I'm hungry 45 minutes later.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, a lot of people don't consider that, you know, with a high fatty diet, like how much you're satisfied, and then you're not really motivated to, you know, consume all the amount of nutrients you actually need because, you know, I'm full. I got my food, so therefore, you know, I don't need to keep, you know, eating.
Well, I have, you know, I'm going to propose a different take on this, because if you took, let's say you took the average guy who's working out and he's a hard gainer, right? And he's eating the whatever amount of food that he's eating and he's having a tough time building muscle. Let's say you change nothing. You don't change his routine. You don't change his diet and you give him some testosterone. You give him, you know, you put him on some steroids. Will he add muscle?
Yes,
he will.
Yes.
So a lot of it, and this is missed by most people. I think common, you know, a lot of times everybody's like, eat more, do this. It's the signal you're sending the body. Just because you broke muscle down does not mean your body is going to build. It just means it wants to recover. Mm-hmm. Recovery and adaptation can totally be separate things.
True.
And this was the big thing that I noticed with myself and with some of my quote unquote hard gainer clients. And let's look at the facts here. Most people fit kind of in the middle. You have some up on the upper ends, which is a very small percentage, and then you have some on the very lower ends that really genuinely do have a tough time building muscle. And most people are somewhere in the middle. If you send the right signal, the right training stimulus, and you really hit it properly, they're going to start building muscle. And honestly, how many extra calories or grams of protein does it take to gain a pound of muscle? Really, how many grams of protein does a pound of muscle contain? It's like 50?
50, yeah.
50 or something like that. So if you send the right signal, and so I think if you're having a tough time building muscle, examine your program. You're A, probably working out too hard, and I swear to God, that's the truth with a lot of these guys. They're going to failure on every set, and they're just, you know, 20 sets for their chest, you know, on Monday or whatever. They're not focusing on building strength. So they're not getting stronger on a regular basis. They don't know how to periodize their workouts where they do deloading, you know, like 1 week they train lighter so they let their body kind of rest a little bit and then come back and hit a little harder. And they're not focusing on the most effective exercises, your squat, your deadlift, you know, your overhead press, your pull up.
Well, there's something to say for frequency, but there's also something to say for, you know, overwhelming your body with stress and sending that same stress signal, never allowing for proper recovery.
Right.
You know, to build and adapt, and send that signal. And so, you know, hormones play a big factor in that.
Well, I see people use the word genetics as, and I hate to say it, they use it as an excuse.
As a crutch for sure.
Like people who are obese, right? You have a lot of obesity and people will say, oh, it's my genes, it's my genetics. Like here's a newsflash, okay? There are no genetics that exist that make you, and there are in extra super rare cases, but there are no genes that exist that will make you 100 pounds overweight. Yeah. They just aren't. Have you guys seen pictures? If you guys go online and look at like circus, like circus freaks or circus, you know, like the circus fat person who back in like, you know, early 1900s, they could walk the streets today and totally blend in. And yet, that's back crazy. Then, they were considered so big right. that people paid money to look at them.
Well, I'm sorry to say, but we had probably, and I could count two guys that were probably obese and I went to school with. And so, you know, that this is just something new that I think has developed in like...
God, I haven't even thought of it like that. I can't remember eating kids.
Right? Eating like, it's not to come down on, you know, people for being overweight and whatnot. Obviously, there's a lot of factors that led up to this point, but... Like, to be fair, like, we really didn't see that, like, growing up. Like, I literally had probably, like, two people in school that I knew that were, like, significantly overweight.
Yeah, and they're blaming genes. We don't evolve that fast. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen that way. And so I think a lot of guys say, you know, I'm a hard gainer because it's an easy, you know, explanation. Like, oh, I can't build muscle. It must be because my genetics don't let me build muscle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm sorry. Most of you aren't building muscle because you're not doing something right. I'm not saying you're not working hard. I'm not saying you're not, you know, being focused. I'm just saying change something.
Right. Yeah. Because that's why you have to experiment, right?
That's it.
I mean, I think a lot of people are so focused on materials that are common, like, you know, from magazines or from, you know, just your local guy at the gym that you see that's huge. And
yeah, you probably shouldn't listen to that guy.
You don't listen to that guy. Please, to God, yeah. Don't listen to that guy. But anyway, like it's a process too. Like I've found even with my own evolution of understanding of nutrition is that people are so different. Like you cannot take one plan and duplicate that and pass it along to your friend.
Oh, hell no.
Please don't do that either. Like if you have something that works for you, let's say it's Atkins, let's say it's, you know, whatever, paleo, you fill in the blank, and you experienced great results, you have better energy, blah, blah, blah. You know, your body responds to it differently. You just have to know that your friend, like, standing right next to you, like, is going to have all kinds of different factors, going to have thyroid things going on.
Well, not just physical, psychological.
Yeah.
Psychological factors as well. I mean, a big part of obesity is also huge part of it is psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It's the comfort of food. It's the I'm right. depressed or I'm bored.
Well, that's the real issue that, like, a lot of times doesn't get addressed, right? And you sometimes see that, like, on these shows, like, they try to bring in, like, a psychologist and have them have a sort of counsel session. And they cry. and then, you know, it's like, oh, we've made this breakthrough, and then they're still eating the Snickers and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the most addicting food. We've talked, you know, in the past, we've talked about it. It's one of the most
addictive. Highly addictive. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, genetics do play a role, absolutely, mm-hmm. but they're not the be all end all.
Well, right. not only that, but you can also say that, you know, so let's say genetically, okay, because this is true. Genetically, somebody could be, you know, more likely to put or carry a higher body fat percentage than another person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. Yes. We all agree on that.
Absolutely.
But, the person who is more likely to carry a higher body fat percentage, now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I'm pretty damn sure that same person is more likely to build muscle than the person who is.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. So, and for every pound.
And also bone structure, you kind of alluded to a little bit of like somatotypes and stuff. And I know that,
right.
you know, there's some controversy with that. But at the same time, it's pretty clear that people have different bone structures. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you look at somebody else that looks like they're carrying more muscle mass, like a lot of times, like you see in the family, you see these same broad shoulders.
Yeah.
You see this like sort of pattern, even with the women.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, there are those factors there that.
So well, and that's where the genes
the
play
genetics,
a role.
Yeah.
But those same, like I said, those same people, which in my case, where I've probably trained thousands of people by now. And I've sat down with somebody who's extremely overweight, and I've ever asked them, like, you know, have you ever tried to build muscle, or have you tried to lift weights before? And any of them that have ever told me they have experienced that they build, mm-hmm. you know, that they put weight on, they put size on, muscle on.
Well, you have two factors with that. There's actually a few things. When they look at the difference between people who call themselves or say that they have a fast metabolism versus people who say they have a slow metabolism. So they take people. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, they take a group of people and, you know, raise your hand if you think you have a really fast metabolism. Raise your hand if you think you have a really slow metabolism. They find that people with fast metabolisms tend to be people who are fidgeters. So they sit, that they're sitting at their chair and they tend to rock their foot.
Tapping their foot.
They tap their foot. They tend to move
more.
Don't
they call that restless leg syndrome?
Yeah. But you end up burning 150 calories extra a day. It doesn't sound like much, but over the course of a year,
that's a lot.
That turns into pounds, right?
Yeah.
They also find that the digestive systems, like the small intestines, large intestines, tends to be longer in people who tend to be obese, so the food stays in longer and they utilize more of what they're eating.
Right.
They also find differences in gut flora, so like the gut bacteria in people who are obese. But let's also look at this fact, right? If you weigh, right now, Adam, if you were 30 pounds, if you had 30 or 40 pounds of fat on you on top of what you already have, you're walking around with more resistance. You're probably going to carry more muscle.
Right. So your legs are going to carry a lot of that load.
And you're going to carry more muscle. And in fact, when you look at people who've been obese for a very, very long time, they have bigger ankles, bigger bones in their lower extremities because they've been carrying this. It'd be like walking around with a barbell across your back.
Well, yeah, exactly. If I have done that, you've had somebody who's 300 pounds taking their body fat test. He hasn't seen the inside of a gym. He's been eating garbage food. And that goes back to your last point that you just made. This is so true. He hasn't lifted any weights in 20 years or ever. In that case, he's 300 something pounds eating garbage food. And then if we test his body fat and mine, he actually has more lean body mass than I have.
Yeah.
And I've been busting my ass in the gym for 15 years trying to, right?
Yeah.
So, and the, my whole point of bringing that up was that there's pluses of both. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you have this, what you think is a slow metabolism. Well, dude, you guess what? You can build muscle at a much faster rate than the average person who's got a fast metabolism or would classify themselves as a fast metabolism or a hard gainer. So if for every pound of muscle that you put on your body burns an additional 60 calories a day. So, you know, your maintenance calorie, a caloric level for the guy who's 300 something pounds is already higher than mine. He can actually get away with eating as much or more food and still lose weight.
Yeah,
so
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you look, the average, not everybody, actually very few people can look like, Mr. Olympia, or very few people can look like the dude on the cover of Men's Health, because those guys have the, not only do they work hard and eat right and do all that stuff, and some of them take anabolics, but they also have genetically predisposed to look a certain way. But everybody can dramatically change how they look with their own, whatever genes they have. Anybody can dramatically change how they look and feel.
Let me ask you guys this then, as far as being a hard gainer is concerned. And I know that, like, so my brother fell into this category where I actually was the opposite. I actually responded really well to taking in a lot of protein shakes, and I lifted really heavy weights, and that was just my answer. And all of a sudden, boom, it happened. No. Yeah. But like for him, like, how would you say like he should have approached gaining more muscle, and whereas I just, all I did was increase my calories and lift heavy weights, and boom, it happened.
So I think Sal and I both have different answers on this one. We kind of answered it in both roundabout ways. I think in my personal experience, the biggest thing that I could have made or done different was I learned to feed my body what it needed first and get it as clean as possible. And then if I could handle piling on more additional calories, I would. And that was what gave me the calorie surplus. It's what it made that I made sure I got the essential amount of protein for my body and stuff. And then whatever extra was extra. And I, you know, since I didn't have a problem with putting that much fat on, I wasn't putting on a ton of weight. Now, mind you, being older now, I have to actually reverse diet out of a competition, because I have built this mass. I have created this appetite. It took years, though. I had to create that appetite. I used to be able to, I was that kid who used to not eat till noon or one for my very first meal. So I remember to this day, I'll never forget when I first started actively making a decision, like, I'm going to train myself to eat more.
You have to train yourself to eat
better,
right?
I had to get up in the morning, and I literally started with a whipped Yoplait, 130 calorie whipped Yoplait, and it was like forcing it down at like 8 in the morning, because I had no appetite. And then it went from that to half of a bagel, from a half a bagel to like some egg whites on there, and like I just slowly kept forcing more and more, and eventually got to a point where as I started to build a little bit of muscle, a little bit at a time, like eventually I started to create
your body craved it more.
Yeah, I started to create this right then. It got to the point now, oh my god, you don't feed me by 8 or 9, I'm a bear. Like,
Well, I mean, the thing I would tell your brother was, I'd say, you know, lift weights 3 days a week, focus on getting stronger on your barbell squat, your deadlift, your bench press, your overhead press. Mm-hmm. Probably do a variation of each of those each time you work out. Don't train to failure, but lift heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And feed yourself. Feed yourself until you start gaining muscle. And once you start getting body fat or too much body fat, then bring it down a little bit. But until you get to that point, eat and focus on food.
Yes.
And if you can't eat enough in between meals or before you go to bed, make yourself a high calorie shake, you know, with some whole milk and some peanut butter and some protein powder or some.
Absolutely. Angel. Yeah. Real
how
foods,
about this?
Right?
You just said it right now. How about this one is only work out like 3 days a week. See, I was working out 7 days a week,
that's
double
what I mean.
Days.
Yeah,
I was thinking in my mind when I was younger, I was thinking, okay, I want to build muscle.
Gotta attack it more aggressively.
More aggressively going after it, where it would mathematically, it wasn't computing that, wow, all I'm doing is
burning
more calories that I've got to intake.
Well, that said, like doing more endurance and like sprinting and running and like there was this misconception even in my own head that like that's going to help me build more muscle, and you know, to some degree it will, but you know, for me, just if I was a hard gainer, like I would just completely focus on lifting heavy weights and then see how I responded, and then you know.
Well, I literally remember this like it was yesterday. I was maybe 15, I think I was 15 years old, and I was playing volleyball with some friends, dislocated my kneecap, okay? First time, I've actually done it a few times, but I dislocated my kneecap, bad injury, I had to wear this long, this big leg brace. So I still went to the gym and I worked out my upper body. Now, up until this point, I rarely touched my legs. I rarely worked out my legs. Like most guys, I worked on the beach muscles, right? So my
curls
leg,
for girls.
Yeah, curls for the girls. So, you know, the physical therapist was doing the rehab. And if you've got, if anyone of you have ever been to physical therapy, they did a great job in the beginning. But then after that, you don't really get any better because they don't use progressive resistance. So I got really frustrated. I went to the gym one day. I got pissed off and I started using the leg press. Well, while I'm doing this, there was these power lifters working out in the gym, these big fuckers. And they're looking over at me, and one of the guys says, "Hey, what are you doing over there? Hey, kid, what are you doing over there?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm trying to, you know, build strength in my leg. I dislocated my knee, and I need to build some mass." And he goes, "Get off that," he says, "get off that fucking machine." He goes, "Get over here and squat with us. Do some barbell squats." I'm like, "Why? What's the difference? I'm working my legs out." He starts laughing. He's like, "There's a huge difference." So I did my first squat session with these power lifters.
No way.
And I will never forget. So this was during the summer of my, I want to say my freshman year maybe, or maybe before my freshman year. I can't remember which, probably freshman year into my sophomore year. Started doing squats. That summer, I gained 16 pounds. And most of it was muscle. And it's because I started barbell squatting and deadlifting, and I learned how to do it from these. And I remember distinctly my mom having to buy new jeans for me because I looked ridiculous.
Quadzilla.
And now, if any of you guys follow me on Instagram, at Maps Anabolic, you'll see pictures of my legs and you'll see that my quads actually developed. I had zero legs when I started lifting weights. Zero. My knees were bigger than my femur. But I started squatting at 15 years old and I learned from power lifters how to squat with, you know, low bar squat and squat for strength and power. My legs exploded and I've done it that there. Wow. So yeah, barbell squat. If you want to gain weight, do some squats and some deadlifts, watch what happens.
But that's why it's so crucial though, especially when you're an impressionable younger person, to get proper coaching. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Oh my God. Like, cause you know that I just think of like, even my wife had a ex football player, pro football player, teaching her volleyball team and then loading all, you know, a ton of weight, and they're doing back squats. And forever and ever, her back is screwed up because of So
because the form was bad.
The form was Well, I'm sure it wasn't managed, and plus the weight itself wasn't managed properly, right? So, you know, didn't put the proper loading on there. So, you know, just make sure like that. Especially if you're listening to this and you're, you know, kind of coming up of age, and like you're like, okay, you know, I want to gain muscle, I want to gain size, and make sure that you attach yourself to somebody who knows what they're doing and can properly teach you technique, because that's going to last you the rest of your life.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, there's a book I want to recommend to some of the younger lifters, and I'm looking it up right now. I believe it's called Starting Strength, and I think it's by Mark Ripto, if I'm not mistaken. It is one of the best books. If you're starting off on lifting weights and you want to build muscle, I'm looking it up right now. Let me see here. Yeah, Mark Ripto, Starting Strength. It focuses on the basic lifts. It teaches you biomechanics. If you can't afford a personal trainer, buy this book, and you will build more muscle following this than you will from any bodybuilder routine that you'll see in Flex Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, or on bodybuilding.com. The other book I'll recommend is called, I think it's called Dinosaur Training. And I can't remember the name. Let's see, Dinosaur Training. I think it's by a gentleman. I'm not quite sure who wrote this book. Brooks Kubik. Dinosaur Training talks again about strength training, and there's some odd lifts in there as well. But you read those two books and you kind of follow what they say in there, you'll build way more muscle than if you follow like the Phil Heath
muscle and fiction.
Way more freaking muscle. And I've had kids that have come to train with me and then stop because they can't, you know, personal training tends to be expensive. And I've recommended these books to them, and I'll see them a year later, and these kids freaking look amazing, man. They like big legs and backs, and I'm like, oh, fucking hell. He's like, oh, I can deadlift 400 pounds now. And, you know, it's just so, it's great.
God, I wish I had a mentor like that when I was a kid, dude. I banged my head all the way into my 20s, dude. I tell you what, like, just, nope, that don't work. Nope, that doesn't work. Nope. I have to say, like, I wish I had
experiment, but do it, like, you know, with some sort of like base.
Yeah. Well, you got the internet now. Yeah. We didn't have
that's
the internet.
True. That's true. That is true. That's what I mean. We talked about that. Oh, I hate to reference another podcast about that, but we've talked before together about how, you know, how accessible everything is now. And like, you know, back then, you know, I'd have to read 3 bad articles to get one good article. Oh,
you know? Yeah. So,
you know what I did? I had Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. The original.
I remember reading that.
And I'm going to say this right now. It's one of the best books I've ever had from this standpoint. The exercise demos in there and the amount of exercises in there are awesome. However, don't follow the routine. I followed the Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, where you work out twice a day and you're doing all these crazy body part split and you just fry the fuck out of yourself. And of course, as an impressionable kid, not only did I follow that routine, but I'd go through like the section on chest and do every exercise that was listed. I mean, literally every exercise you can imagine that can be done with dumbbell barbells, I did for each body part. And I fried the shit. I don't know how I even got any stronger doing that. I fried the hell out of myself. So don't make that mistake.
I think that's a really good point. And it's, once again, it's kind of like circling back around what we said about, you know, sometimes less is more. And I think that's important, especially with the hard gainer to understand in so many aspects. And I wish I had a sexy story like
you. It's a very hard concept, though.
For when I first added 15 pounds in a year. But my experience with that, I'll never forget. And mine was similar in the fact that I had an injury. I rolled my ankle from playing basketball. Well, at the time, I literally played basketball at least 5 to 7 times a week. I mean, I just, even if it was just for fun, but I'd play for an hour, sometimes 3 hours at a time, like almost every day. That was my thing. I loved to work out. I loved to play basketball. And, you know, when I got hurt, you know, I went back. I was kind of rehabbing myself, and I was a trainer at the time already. And because I had eliminated basketball, I was like, you know, I'm not going to play for a while. I'm going to focus on weightlifting since I really can't because I hurt myself anyways. And I just started noticing I was putting weight on. So I was going, I'm going to keep doing this. And I realized, wow, just by simply cutting all that activity level out, how much it started to put size on me. Mm-hmm. So, and I noticed that especially with a lot of young kids who consider themselves hard gainers that come to me and ask for help. That's normally the very first thing I ask, you play sports, what are you doing? And, you know, it's like,
they're just doing a ton.
Oh yeah. I skateboard, I snowboard, I play football, I play soccer, you know, I swim every once in a while with my buddies and, you know, we play some knee football out every now and then.
Coach wants me to put on 15 pounds. You know,
right. Exactly.
Even though you're still doing a million things.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, one of the best things you could do is tone down the workouts. They don't need to be super intense. You do not have to be beast mode when you work out, you know, like Sal said, you know, lift some decently heavy, moderately heavy weight, but moderately, it's not something you're maxing out. You don't need to be doing 1 to 3 rep max stuff right now. There's no need to.
Don't train to failure. Progressive resistance is what builds muscle, not going to failure. So if you lift 135 pounds and you did it 6 reps today, and a month from now you're doing 8 reps, you've gained something, and that's the progressive resistance. Don't lift until you can't move anymore. I know it's sexy and it's fancy and it looks awesome when someone writes an article about I worked out so hard. Here, I'll tell you guys a story. Let me tell you about a bad story. So that was an awesome story. Here's a fucked up story. I read an article that, again, this is Arnold, and I fucking love the guy. He's one of my idols. But again, bad advice. He wrote this article about how him and some of his buddies would take a barbell and take gallons of, like, jugs of milk, and they'd go out into the woods and they would just squat all day. I swear I would gain an inch on my thighs within 2 days. So I'm like, this sounds awesome. This sounds fucking awesome.
I'm doing this tomorrow.
I took a barbell and 2 10-pound plates, and I walked about a quarter mile to this elementary school by my house when I was a kid, and I dragged along a jug of milk with me. So it was kind of a pain in the ass walking all the way over all this equipment. But I made it there, and I squatted and drank milk. Now, number one, I'm lactose intolerant.
That's your first problem. Yeah,
and number two, I didn't know how to squat properly. But anyway, so I lasted I squatted for like a whole, you know, hour and a half while drinking milk. I almost puked twice. I couldn't make it home.
Yeah. What else was happening in your body?
Yeah. I couldn't make it home. I couldn't make it home. I literally tried to walk, and my legs didn't fucking work. I remember thinking to myself, and I almost started crying. I'm like, I'm 14 years old or whatever, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting on the sidewalk, and I want to cry because it's getting dark. You know, I don't have a cell phone, right? And I was like, fuck, what am I going to say? Like, how am I going to get? And then my dad came looking for me in the pickup truck, picked me up, brought me home, and I missed like 3 days of school because I was so fucking sore from squat. Thanks, Arnold.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.